Well, Sal, here we are again.
You know, Chris, I really enjoyed our last conversation. I know I went a bit overboard asking so many questions. I know I'm going to do the same thing today, but believe me, I am learning a lot. So what are we talking about today?
Well, we're going to talk about the practice of the faith you've come to believe in, kind of your next step.
Practice? You mean ethics? Morals?
No, that part will come a little bit later.
Going to church then? Public worship?
No, well, that's part of it too. Still another topic we're going to come back to in another day.
But I thought those three were the three parts of our faith. What we believe, how we live, and what we do in church. You know, words, works, and worship.
That's pretty good. But they're just the shell, not the nut. The car, not the engine. Kind of like the bread and not the meat.
Well, what's the meat? Where's the beef?
A pretty important question, wouldn't you say?
And your pretty important answer is?
Well, the essence of Christianity is a lived relationship with God, a love affair with God. It's more like a marriage than anything else I can think of. A whole shared life. Those other three things we mentioned, ideas, shared values, and activities, they're only aspects of this shared life.
Let me get this straight. We talked about theology and doctrine last time, right? What you believe and why you believe it.
That's right.
And now you're telling me that isn't the heart of it all?
Right. Theology is knowing about God. That's important, all right. But not as important as knowing God. Just like knowing things about your friend is not the same as knowing your friend.
I see. Christianity isn't just an idea. It's a relationship.
Exactly.
Then where did the ideas come in? The doctrines I've learned to believe. How do they relate to this relationship?
Well, they're the shape of it, the skeleton. But a skeleton without living flesh is pretty ugly and dead.
I see. But flesh without a skeleton can't live either.
That's right. But Christianity is both. We talked about the intellectual skeleton last time. Now we're here to talk about the flesh, the experience of touching God.
That sounds exciting. I suppose you have a dull name for it.
Yes. Matter of fact, sometimes it's called prayer, sometimes spirituality, and then sometimes the inner life.
The word prayer doesn't sound exciting, but the experience of meeting God, really experiencing Him, not just having concepts about Him, that sure sounds exciting.
It's the most exciting thing in the world, though in a deep and peaceful sort of way. No one who has ever experienced God in prayer has ever found anything more joyful, not even owning half the world.
Don't you think most people would laugh at that claim?
Only if the ones who haven't tried both, and they're in no position to compare them, experience is the best, surest teacher.
But haven't most people tried it? Doesn't almost everyone pray sometimes? Yet they don't seem to get much of a kick out of it.
Yes, most people dabble in it. They say a few prayers, but that's like getting your toes wet in the ocean and then thinking you know how to swim in the ocean. Real prayer, is like jumping into the ocean and getting in over your head and maybe even letting the tide take you out to sea.
Sounds scary.
That's why people avoid it. It sounds scary, but it isn't, because the ocean is God and God is love.
Love can seem scary sometimes, you know.
You're right there.
Love can be like fire.
But God's love is the opposite of fire in one way. The closer you get to it, the less you're burned. It seems painful and scary only at the outer edges.
Also, fire doesn't care about you.
Right again, and God does. In fact, right this minute, He's longing for you to come closer to Him.
You mean literally?
Yes.
But I thought God was eternal and perfect and had no needs.
Yes, but He's a person, not just a force. He has a will, a heart, a desire. He's love, Sal. And love is longing and yearning. What meaning could we possibly give to God as love if that love were cold and correct and uncaring and calculating? Love always cares. And since God is infinite love, his caring and desiring and yearning are infinite.
Wow. It's hard to square that with my picture of God being eternal.
Yes, it is. But don't let either truth go, just because you can't understand how they fit together.
Well, what does God yearn for then?
The one thing he can't do himself. The one thing he can't give to himself. And only you can give it to him.
Is there such a thing?
Yes.
What is it then?
Your free love. Your free choice to come closer to him. Your yes to his offer of intimacy. What we just talked about.
You mean God wants me to learn how to pray?
Yes.
You mean right now, this very moment, God is waiting for me?
Yes. God wants us to have these conversations. God wants people to read the book and practice it. And that's why its author wrote it.
What do you mean?
Well, for God, not only to help people satisfy their desire for God, but also to help God satisfy his desire for them, to make God happy.
We can make God happy?
Sure.
How can that be?
Because he really loves us, really cares. He's our father. We're his babies. A baby's parents really care that the baby learns to walk and talk.
So prayer is talking to God, right?
And walking with God.
Well, I want to learn that art.
It is an art, and anyone can learn it.
Can you teach me?
Only a little. For advanced lessons, you'll have to go to a wiser Christian than I. But if you want some beginner's lessons, okay. That's all a beginner can really teach you. You can't give what you don't have, although sometimes preachers and teachers try.
Oh, it's a deal then. Where do we start?
Well, before we go any further in talking about how to pray, we'd better define our terms, don't you think?
Sure. So define prayer for me, please.
No, you will want to learn. So what do you think it is?
Something you say to God, I guess.
Do you say prayers or do you pray?
What's the difference?
All the difference in the world. Like the difference between blowing a kiss and really kissing someone.
Prayer is like kissing God.
Oh, yes, and wrestling with God and just sitting there with God.
I thought it was mental communication.
Oh, more than that. The essence of real communication is always a real touching, even among us.
Physically?
No, spiritually. A touching of spirits. Surface communication is just an exchange of words. Real communication is an exchange of persons.
Well, why isn't real communication exchanging words?
Because computers can tape decks, they can do that.
Okay, but prayer is talking to God, right? Isn't that words?
And walking with God, remember?
Okay, but the talking part.
It is talking with God, not just to God. You have to be with somebody before you can talk with them. Computers can talk to you, but not with you, because they can't be with you. There's nobody there, no presence. No person.
I see.
And here's another reason, is talking with God, not just to God. Half of it is listening, or should be, maybe even more than half.
So we don't have to say much. Good prayers are short.
Yes, the best prayer of all, the one Jesus taught us to pray, is very short. All the prayers Jesus taught in the Gospels are short. Yet, he spent a lot of time in prayer. He constantly was going off into the desert, and even at night, spending a lot of time, and only doing a little talking. So he must have been doing a lot of listening, right?
Right.
And what better model, what better teacher to teach us how to pray than Jesus himself?
Okay, you've convinced me. So how do I listen to God in prayer?
That's such an important question that I think we should take a whole conversation for that later, okay?
Okay, and how about talking about the walking with God part. Can I pray as I live and work all the time?
Yes, you can. And we'll talk about that in another conversation as well.
Can you just tell me what it means now, basically?
Sure. The Bible describes it as something Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. God walked with them in the cool of the evening. It often describes a holy person, like Enoch, as one who walked with God. It means knowing God.
Not theology.
No friendship.
So theology isn't really worth all that much then, is it?
Wrong. But don't put down theology. One thing isn't made worthless by another thing being made more valuable. A billionaire doesn't make a millionaire a pauper.
But theology is just a road map. Prayer is traveling, right?
Right. But did you ever try to travel in unknown places without a road map?
I see your point. But didn't you say that creed, code, and cult were only like an outer shell of a nut?
Yes.
And prayer gets you inside?
Yes.
And the point is to touch the nut, to actually eat it?
Yes.
But to do that, you have to break the shell first.
Yes, but not in a destructive way. The shell is essential. It protects the nut inside.
And the nut is prayer.
The nut is God himself, experienced in praying.
I see. Well, then tell me, why do you keep saying praying and not just prayer?
Well, because pray is an active verb. Praying is something you do. It makes Christianity more like a laboratory than a classroom.
Wouldn't it be ideal to keep a laboratory journal?
Sometimes, yes, but keep it short, simple, focused on God. Don't get ingrown eyeballs.
Would keeping a journal tend to do that, do you think?
Well, some people, yes, and others, no.
Well, I like the idea of keeping a personal journal, like a private diary, something only I can do, my unique signature on it, a present to offer to God when it's finished.
It may get finished, but you never will. Not in this life.
Well, I have one more question for you today, Chris. Most Christians pray, right?
Right.
Then why are there so few who have the kind of friendship with God, this intimacy that we're talking about?
Why do you think it's so few?
You know what I mean.
No, I don't. You have to say it.
Well, even preachers, even good and sincere ones, seem to be mouthing words most of the time. When you meet one who really seems to know God personally, you recognize him. He stands out. You know what I mean, don't you?
Yes.
Well, why are there so few?
How do you know there are only a few? Can you look into people's hearts?
No.
So maybe that dull and utterly ordinary person is really doing the most exciting thing in human life, walking with God. Maybe that old bum is one of God's closest friends.
I see. I was judging and judging by appearances. I guess I better stop looking at them and start looking at myself, because that's the one person I do know from the inside and the one person I can do something about.
Boy, you really learn fast, Sal.
I don't want to keep God waiting. Well, let's begin instead of talking about beginning.
Let's pray. Father, we just ask that the words that we have just spoken will take root in the heart of each listener. Help each one of us to examine our prayer life and to come a little closer to walking with you, Father. Thank you for this time. Amen.
Amen.